At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. I noticed in some of the earlier masses today, during the first reading, some of the children had a little bit of surprise on their face when they heard a certain word being pronounced that begins with the letter A and it ends with the letter S, and the middle letter is also S. And they look, did they just say that word? So if you have children, I'll rely on your parents to explain it to them. I remember when I was younger and that reading came up, it's always difficult for the reader to pronounce those words because they're like in the church and like, can I say that, Father? So you have to do it loud and proud, because if you are timid about it, they'll think you made a mistake and something slipped. So you got to do it with loud and proud. In today's gospel, Jesus is speaking to us from his own experience. And that experience is that of the rabbis and the wise men who rejected him, and the simple people who accepted him. Many of the intellectuals of the time had no use for Jesus, but the humble welcomed him into their homes. However, we must be careful to see clearly what Jesus means when he says that what you have revealed to the wise, you have hidden from the wise and the learned, you have revealed to the humble, the meek. We must be careful to see what Jesus means. He's far from condemning intellectual power. What he is condemning is intellectual pride. Someone once said that the heart, not the head, is the home of the gospel. And that is to say, it's not about how much we know. It's not about our brains understanding everything. It's more about being called to love and to be in a relationship with Jesus. It's not our cleverness that shuts us out from God's kingdom, but rather it's our pride. And it's not stupidity which admits one into God's kingdom, but rather it's humility. A man can be as wise as Solomon, but if he does not have simplicity, the trust, the innocence of a childlike heart, he shuts himself out. This is good news for me, especially because I don't think of myself as an intellectual, and it tells us that you don't have to be an intellectual to be close to God's heart and to grow in holiness. And there are plenty of examples of saints who were not known to be great intellectuals. The first one I could think of is St. John Vianney. He barely passed his seminary, and many of his professors actually told him that he was stupid. And yet he became one of the holiest priests that you can imagine. He's now the patron saint of the parish priest or pastor. St. Francis of Assisi, he was not known for great intellectual writings or things like that, but rather the simplicity of his heart and his embrace of poverty and care for his brothers and sisters. I read something where St. Francis even talked about having poverty of the intellect and rather trusting more completely in God than intellect. Today's passage, we see Jesus make the greatest claim, And that is to say that it's the entire center of the Christian faith. That is to say that he alone can reveal God to men. Jesus alone can reveal God to men. Other men may be sons of God, but only Jesus is the Son of God. St. John, in his gospel, puts it a different way when he tells us that Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." What Jesus says is this: if you want to see what God is like, if you want to see the mind of God, the heart of God, the nature of God, if you want to know God's attitude towards the world, look at me. It's the Christian conviction that in Jesus Christ alone we see what God is like. It is also the Christian conviction that Jesus can give that knowledge to anyone who is humble enough and trustful enough to receive it. You can go to the seminary, you can go to the library, and read all the books about Christianity, and still your heart may not be on fire with love for God or neighbor. That comes by spending time with Jesus. In the end, it's not about how much we know, but rather how much we love and how strong our relationship is with Jesus. A man may know all there is to know about the church and what the Bible says, but still treat one another with great hurtful words or actions. And you probably know examples of people like that. People who are like know-it-all, and they can quote to you all the scripture verses and things like that, yet you know that they're not acting the way that Jesus would act. Think about this. The devil, do you think the devil believes in Jesus? Yeah, he believes in him, he knows. Do you think the devil knows all of the church's teachings? Sure. Do you think the devil can quote the scripture? Sure. But is the devil holy? No, he's the opposite. And so it's not about how much we know, but rather how much we love and how close we are to Jesus, because it's Jesus who reveals God. And so stay close to Jesus. I remember listening to Mother Teresa, who once said that what encourages her and her sisters in caring for the poorest of the poor is seeing Jesus in them. And so how do we spend time with Jesus? We do so through prayer, and we can pray anywhere. We do so especially in adoration when we come to a church where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed. And so many people have told me, you can't believe the peace that they receive by going to an hour of adoration. Words can't describe. And it doesn't make any sense. People say, well, what did you do? I didn't do anything. I just sat there and let Jesus speak to me. Spending time with Jesus, Jesus can reveal God to you. We also spend time with Jesus when we care for those most in need around us, like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and recognizing his presence in the poor. In the end, it's not how much we know, but how much we love and how close we are to Jesus. Jesus in this gospel also says, "Come to me, all you who are exhausted." His invitation is to those who are exhausted with the search for truth. The Greeks had a saying. The Greeks said that it's very difficult to find God, and when you've found him, it's impossible to tell anyone else about him. Saint Augustine, a great intellectual of our church, found the search for God to be very difficult himself. He searched one philosophy after another for years and years and never found God, never found the truth. Finally, he found Saint Ambrose, who told him that he was going about it all wrong. Saint Ambrose told him, "You can't save yourself. You don't find God with your own intellectual power, but rather you allow God to find you." The way to know God is not merely a mental search, but rather it's spending time with Jesus and allowing Jesus to speak to you and to find you. St. Augustine put it very beautifully in his book, The Confessions. He writes this very famous quote. Maybe you've heard it before, but I'm going to read it again because it's so lovely. St. Augustine is an example of an intellectual who was also humble enough to allow Jesus to find him. And so he writes this: "Late have I loved you, beauty so ancient and so new. Late have I loved you, Lo, you were within, but I outside, seeking there for you. And upon the shapely things you have made, I rushed headlong, I mishappen. You were with me, but I was not with you. They held me back far from you, those things which would have no being were they not in you. You called, you shouted, broke through my deafness. You flared, blazed, banished my blindness. You lavished your fragrance. I gasped, and now I pant for you. I tasted you, now I hunger and thirst. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. When at last I cling to you with my whole being, there will be no more anguish or labor for me, and my life will be alive indeed, alive because filled with you. But now it is very different. Anyone whom you fill, you also uplift, but I am not full of you, and so I am a burden to myself. Joys over which I ought to weep do battle with sorrows that should be a matter of joy, and I do not know which will be victorious. But I also see griefs that are evil at war in me with joys that are good, and I do not know which will win the day. This is agony, Lord. Have pity on me. It is agony. See, I do not hide my wounds. You are the physician, and I am sick. You are merciful. I in need of mercy. This is the end of the quote from St. Augustine, but a beautiful example of an intellectual who is humble enough to recognize his need for God. Jesus invites us to take his yoke upon our shoulders and to learn from him. The Jews used the phrase yoke for entering into submission to something. They spoke of the yoke of the law, the yoke of the commandments, the yoke of the kingdom, the yoke of God. But it may well be that Jesus took the words of his invitation from something much nearer home than that. He says, "My yoke is easy." The word easy in Greek is krestos, and it can also mean well-fitting. So think of it like when you're putting something together, you know, it comes in the box and you have to put everything together. If it goes together easy, you may say everything fit well. It goes together easy. And so Jesus may have been saying that my yoke is well-fitted. In Palestine, ox yokes were made of wood. The ox was brought and basic measurements were taken. The yoke was then roughed out of the wood, and later the ox was brought back to have the yoke tried on. The yoke was carefully adjusted so that it would fit well and not gall the neck of the ox. The more well or easy the yoke fit, the harder the ox was able to work without causing it pain. The yoke was tailor-made to fit the ox. There's a legend that Jesus and Joseph made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee, and that from all over the country, men came to him to buy the best yokes that skill could make. In those days, as now, shops had their signs above the door, and it has been suggested that the sign above the door of the carpenter shop in Nazareth may well have read, "My yokes fit well." It may well be that Jesus is using here a picture from the carpenter shop in Nazareth, where he had worked through the silent years, those years leading up to his public ministry. Jesus says, "My yoke fits well." So a couple of images I want to take from the image of that being yoked to Jesus. If a farmer had a young ox who was still learning how to pull the cart or the plow, he would often yoke that young ox to an older, stronger ox who was more familiar with what was expected. And that young ox may not even pull any weight at all, but because he was yoked to the bigger, older ox, he would begin to learn what was expected when he was on the yoke. And so we learn from our yoke from Jesus, but also maybe we are called to learn or teach others through our suffering. Those yokes that are well fitted for us, whatever it is that you are suffering from that may be a burden to you, it may be the path to your salvation. And it also may be that you are called through that your suffering to teach another person their path to salvation. Also in the new marriage rite, you know, I don't know if you know that there's a new marriage rite that was recently published by the church. There was adapted for the Universal Church a custom that was particular to the Hispanics, and that was to place a lasso over the bride and groom. The lasso really, it looks like a rosary with two hoops instead of one big hoop, and it was like a yoke being placed over the husband and a wife. And I think it's a beautiful image that husband and wife are called to work together for the salvation of each other, and not one doing all the work or the other, but together they are stronger and can do much more. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "My yokes are easy," or "fit well"? The life I give you is not a burden to gall you. Your task is made to measure, to fit you. Whatever God sends us is made to fit our needs and our abilities exactly. Jesus says, "My burden is light." One rabbi put it this way. He says, "My burden is become my song." It's not that the burden is easy to carry, but that it is laid upon us in love. And it's meant to be carried in love. And if we carry our burdens with love, it makes all the difference in the world. Love makes even the hardest burden light. When we remember the love of God, when we know that our burden is to love God and to love others, then the burdens that we carry become a way which we actually give praise to God. I think another way of saying this, maybe you've heard it put this way before, is that you are called to flower wherever God has planted you. And so people see the beautiful flower wherever God has planted you, whatever the situation, whether you're suffering or not. And I think, when I think about it, I think of my own family. I have a brother whose daughter has so many health problems. The doctors say she will never speak. She may never be able to use the bathroom on her own, and so she needs constant care. And I think to myself, what a burden that would be for my brother to carry that, all these years. But when I look at my brother and my sister-in-law, they do this out of love. They love that child. They don't care how much work they have to put into it. They have an amazing love for that child. And they are teaching me a little bit deeper what love really looks like when I watch them. And so our burdens become a way that we, yoked to our other brothers and sisters, can help teach them. There's an old story that tells of a man who came upon a little boy carrying a still smaller boy who was lame upon his back. "That's a heavy burden for you to carry," said the man. That's not a burden," came the answer. "That's my wee brother." The burden which is given in love and carried in love always seems light. Come to Jesus simply. Only he can reveal God to us. You don't have to be an intellectual, but if you are, be humble about it. Learn from Jesus and spend time with him. With Jesus, life takes on a new dimension. Those things that we once saw as a burden somehow seem to become light and ways of expressing our love.